Thanks, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Dr. Cowan and Friends. And sometimes I have old friends and sometimes I have new friends. And today I have a new friend, Eddie Stone. I need to admit him back to the waiting room, it looks like. There we go. Are you there?
Yeah, I am. When it hit recording and it flashed on my screen, continue, I think my ex was on top of the lead.
It
booted me off. My apologies.
All right. So I haven't met Eddie before today, but he, I believe, is the CEO of a company called Touchstone Essentials. And by the way, Eddie, I always say to people, my guests, please, if you hear anything that I say that's incorrect, I would love it if you correct me, because, you know, whatever.
Sure.
So, and it's really what we're talking about is a substance. I think substance is probably the correct word, called zeolite. Now, I'm sure many of you, if not most of you, maybe even all of you, have heard of zeolite. And it's something that I've sort of danced around using pretty much for the last maybe 5 years of my practice. And Eddie, I don't know if you know this, but I'm fond of saying there's, I used to say there's three reasons people get sick. And since COVID, I've now added a fourth reason. So the three reasons are, number one, injuries, like you fall off a horse. So then you break your arm and whatever. So that's one way people get sick. The other way is people are starving. And so that could be anything like scurvy, you know, you're starving for vitamin C. It could be pellagra, that's a B vitamin. It could be even starving for affection or communication with people, or starving for oxygen. So I mean starving in sort of the big sense of the word, but specifically with nutrients, food, that sort of thing, and water, clean water.
Yeah.
So that's number two, and that's a biggie. But by far, at least I used to say the biggest was poisons, otherwise known as toxins, otherwise known as you got stuff that you shouldn't have. Now, this can be anything from arsenic and heavy metals. It could also be emotional toxicity. It can be electromagnetic fields. It can be, you know, glyphosate. There's any, people are very creative in their ability to create toxins and poison each other. And even one must admit that some of the toxins are endogenously generated. In other words, we make toxins when we metabolize. Now, generally speaking, I don't think that's a huge reason people get sick, but one would absolutely have to include that. The other one is, you know, bacteria make toxins. They don't necessarily cause infections in the way we think, but, you know, they make poisons that are like snakes make poisons. We're not infected by snakes, but certainly it can be a problem to get bit by a snake. So those are the main three. And I think my guess is zeolite will fit into the third in a big way. Now, just for, you know, to round it out, I must admit that since COVID, I've also included delusional thinking as number four. So I think thinking things that are nonsense is not good for your health. And I could give a lot of examples of that, but we don't need to go into that. So anything that interfaces with number three, right? Because a lot of people have figured out how to eat at least more or less good food and all that. But no matter who you are, if you're living, you know, it's like people used to say to me, but Tom, there's no way I'm sick. I'm never exposed to any toxins. And I used to think, are you kidding me? Like, none of us, me, not you, not nobody can escape, really. It's just unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So again, I give a little bit of a long introduction, but then I mostly shut up the rest of the way. And with that, I just want to welcome you. And Eddie, if you could tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got into this, and what the heck is zeolite, and why would anybody want to take it?
Absolutely. And I appreciate the chance to be with you and your audience. It's an honor to be with you today.
Thank you.
To your point, I like your list. I was just trying to think as you were talking what my list would be. It would look like that. I might add a few little subcategories that bother me about people, but we'll just leave that to another day.
I have some of those too, but I try not to mention them in public.
Yeah, right. That's best. That's good advice right there. Yeah. So I'll give you an overview of sorts. So I'm 57 years old. Married, got a couple great kids, and really have been involved with supplements, that industry for more than 30 years. In fact, that's really what the bulk of my, career has been. And it wasn't necessarily something I was looking for. It's just something I found. And then I had a situation as I was kind of looking at supplements, being a part of supplements from a business standpoint. My mom, Judy, who's alive and well today, to kind of jump to the end of the story, in the late 1980s, she began to be sort of chronically sick or fatigued, or not really sure the proper way to say this, but she began to get sick to the point where, listless, tired, losing weight, not really engaging like she had once engaged with us and with life. And she's not that much older than me, right? So we're pretty close, and I have a great relationship with my mom. We spent a couple of years in our local community, then traveling around North Carolina to various universities, then going outside of the state, looking at medical centers to try to help us identify, hey, what's going on here, right? What's happening with her? And there's all kinds of discussions about various issues from tick-borne disease or other type of viral issues, but no one could pinpoint anything. Until one day we were given a reference to a doctor who's out of Atlanta, Georgia. And we were told, hey, this guy's a bit of a quack, but he often helps people with mysterious illnesses. And we were so desperate that the fact that his lead was that he was a quack did not bother us, right? We're like, okay, we'll take the phone number and investigate this ourselves.
It's the only doctors who actually help anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm beginning to think there's some real truth there.
Yeah.
And so we go and visit, and he was just doing something different than most people. Wasn't necessarily a quack. He was using IV chelation therapy. That was kind of his catch-all answer to everything. And we were so desperate for something that he put my mom on an aggressive, like 5 days a week, couple weeks in a row, 6 to 8 hours of IV chelation. Pretty aggressive from what I know now, maybe a little bit dangerous, but back then we had no idea. And within a few days, she really responded.
Yeah.
Her sort of brain fog and fatigue and other things began to diminish. She's a little more engaged, appetite, all those kinds of things. And so we're like, oh man, this is okay, whatever's going on here. And then it turns out with some more investigation, she had had.
Eddie, can I stop you for a minute? And just maybe if somebody doesn't know what chelation refers to, can you just describe that just briefly?
Chelation is a drug therapy, and basically.
Yeah, usually EDTA.
ETA, that's right. And so it's a drug therapy. So you have to be careful how that word is used, particularly in connection with supplements. And I can talk about that more later. But basically, they use these binders to connect with poisons, heavy metals, could be radioactive materials, whatever it happens to be that's poisoning someone's body. And this is a circulating process to try to bind and get those toxins out of the system.
Right.
And I, for the most part, while it does have some danger because it can strip away good minerals and other things, so the protocol needs to be really well monitored to make sure things are done properly, it can be effective, particularly with harsh industrial accidents or, like I said, something like a radiation. So, and prior to that point, I had no idea what chelation therapy was, right? Completely new to me and my family, as it probably is for most people, right? There's no reason for general public to know. But she had had breast implants when she was younger, and her body had begun to have an autoimmune response to the implants. And one, if I understood correctly, was leaking around the seam. So that therapy made a big difference. I don't know that the EDTA was specifically designed to impact those toxins, but whatever happened there, she improved. Ultimately, we got the implants out of her and improved diet and other things. And so she's returned to good health, and she's still a lovely, healthy lady today. For me, having just sort of been introduced to the supplement industry about that same time on a separate track, it made me really think about it. It was kind of a wake-up call to the fact that environmental toxins, just as the food you eat could be toxic, or as you said, relationships can be toxic, sort of a wake-up call, right? That this is a category to consider, just as you're thinking about micronutrients, quality of food, diet, exercise, breathing, exercise, I mean, all these kinds of things. And so it really made a big impression upon me. And so I was in the supplement industry. I do believe deeply. I'm a fan of supplements, but probably not most supplements or traditionally prepared supplements. I really feel like a lot of what is sold has a lot of hype that it can never live up to. And it's certainly not replacing a person doing the best they can with their diet, or even things they eliminate like ultra processed foods and other materials like that. And so I think supplements can be used as a bridge between where people are and where they want to be. I think that's their proper role, but they should come with education, because you'd like for folks with their diet, with their exercise and other things, be doing these things for themselves, right? Not just relying on a supplement. So philosophically, for me, as those things developed over my career, toxins and exposure to toxins and eliminating those exposures became also a part of how I think about these things and what you can do for good health. And so then in 2005, to kind of fast forward, a colleague. So
essentially, Eddie, let me stop you there. You got started in this because essentially, if you want to boil it down, your mother was being poisoned by silica, you know, basically seeping into her tissues.
Yeah.
And that is as simple as that. And any strategy that safely gets the silica out of there probably helps.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even as I understood it, and it's been a long time, even the membrane that it was housed in was also creating a problem, right? That may have been unique to her body, but nonetheless a problem.
Yeah, I don't think it's unique to her, but anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2005, I was introduced to zeolites, which before then, right, didn't mean anything to me. And for those that don't know what zeolites are a class of minerals. In this case, when we discuss it about our company and what we do, we use a sheet-like zeolite called clinoctilite that's naturally mined. You actually can find it all over the world. We mine in a pristine environment here in the United States. It's a natural mineral that we know quite a bit about. It's been used in food production. It's been used in water filtration and air filtration, even cleanup in places like Fukushima, or going back to Chernobyl. Heck, you can go back to the Romans, that in their waterways coming into cities and how they dealt with waste, had clay, that bentonite clay with heavy amounts of zeolite that really helped them control disease, you know, coming from human waste in a way most city centers in those times never had. One of the reasons why they were more successful with larger city centers, right? So zeolites go back even to clay eating societies in China. So we have a lot of history about them. And
so is zeolite, what does it look like mined? Is it a powder, a rock dust? What does it look like?
It's a rock.
Yeah.
It's a rock. And so the way they form is volcanic lava or ash collides with pyrolakes or salt waters, and these crystalline structures form. And they're more milky white than they are clear, but they can be clear. And the properties that make them most unique, one, the density and the consistency of the structure is very similar from sort of the outer edges to the center, almost like you think of a diamond. Right? A diamond structure is pretty consistent throughout, right? So that's sort of one thing to bear in mind. Number two, the zeolites under heavy, you know, heavy duty microscopes, right? You can see that they have cages or tunnels or channels, whatever a person might want to call them. And these are really key. And the way their structure is, those cages have a negative charge to them. right? And so one of the sort of just the real, to give away sort of the end of the story here, and I'll fill back in, one of the things that makes these really powerful from a property standpoint is things like cadmium, lead, mercury, other heavy metals, some volatile organics and things of this kind that we put into the toxic or the toxin category, they have a positive charge.
Right.
And so the zeolite, based upon proximity, coming close to that will bind with it, like you think of the way at the north end and the south end of a magnet will bind. And so they bind. And since zeolites are not essential minerals, so we don't have receptor sites for them, they won't stay in the body. So really somewhere between 4 to 6 hours of sort of normal renal and bowel function, they're processing out of the body, which if you think about something that could be a tool for systematic detoxification, sort of simple daily detox, it's ideal. In fact, I don't know of anything that's more complementary to sort of how humans live and convenient to use. Things like charcoal, bentonite clay, some of these other materials, they can be useful, but they're very specific, mostly focused on the gut, and not really, for the most part, able to be used just as a routine on a day in and out basis. And so for me, I really
let me stop you there. So I think what you said is there is no like enzymatic process that uses zeolite.
No,
it's not like magnesium or iron or molybdenum or something. Nothing. We don't use zeolite.
We don't use zeolite. I've been around this heavily since 2005, and I'm just unaware of anything like that in the literature. And so one of the reasons why, so zeolite, clinoptilite specifically, not synthetics, because you do have people in the supplement space using synthetics, which generally have been used for industrial applications. The naturally mined zeolite has GRAS status from the FDA and the equivalency in the European Union, as well as throughout Asia. I mean, there may be a few exceptions, but not many that I would know of, because it's inert. It has such a very specific mechanism of action, and it's been used for a long time. So we've had exposure to it. It's just been in food processing, not as a dietary supplement.
And what about, you know, there are some things that we've not been able to identify any protein or enzyme process that it can involved it. But sometimes things like that don't get absorbed very well, because I think it because the body says, we don't have any use for this, so we're not going to absorb it. Is that an issue with zeolite?
No, I think it has a lot to do with how it's prepared, right? And that they are using specifically the clinoptilite that's naturally mined. But in this case, I actually think that's an advantage. And so the mechanism of action is based upon proximity, right? There's no dissolution, right? It doesn't break down in the body, and it's inert. And so if you're consuming it and it gets into the soft tissue and the bloodstream, it's really going to be based upon circulation, right? And so as it comes in proximity, it would bind and stay bound until it evacuates the body. That's sort of the ideal situation, that it doesn't re-release or stay in the system. So different than we might think of with cleanses or other things of that kind, right? This is not that. And in our case, the product that is our most popular version of zeolite is called Pure Body Extra. That product, we mill that down to a nano size, and quite literally sort of breaking the structure of water, we trap that inside of a water cluster. And so essentially anywhere that water goes in the body, that's where this is going to go. So it has a cellular reach, right? That's what I think is the greatest advantage, and what causes people to have positive reactions is this is something that's making it to the cell. And when you talk about things like cadmium, lead, mercury, and some of these others, you're talking about particulates that are in some cases angstrom in size, which is ideal because the zeolite cage is sort of built for that from a receptive standpoint. So it's going to go sort of where it needs to go, because that's where the problem is. And so that's why we just think it's ideal based upon anything we've ever worked with. Now, that's not to say we don't also believe in greens and dietary habits and other things to help support your body's own native abilities to detox. We think this is a real important catalyst.
So how do you get it connected with water? Can you say more about that?
I can't say too much. It's a proprietary process that we spent a lot of time, energy, and money on, but we use sound waves to basically kind of blow apart. You can kind of just, this is loose for something that's complicated, but I think about kind of blowing apart the structure and allowing it to reassemble. And in this case, reassemble around the zeolite. And that's, you know, that's how we get there. And so it holds it in suspension, which is really what we want, right? When people, if people ever buy it, you know, they're going to get it and go, I don't see it. It looks like clear water. It's odorless. It's tasteless, which if you want kids to use it, if you want people that are finicky to use it, it also kind of fits ideally with what our ideas are for day in and day out usage.
Okay. So what we know so far is that zeolite seems to be one of nature's primary gifts to humans, maybe even animals, that because it's like a prison for poisons. And not only is it a prison, but it's a clever prison because they're actually sucking you into prison by essentially putting a banana inside the prison. The banana in this case is a magnet. And then the bad guys, which is the mercury and the lead and cadmium, they like bananas. So they go into the prison and then the prison gets peed out or pooped out bile and urine, and you got less bad guys.
I think that's a great way to think about it. In fact, you said animals. There's a lot of research out there about zeolites with animals and or in animal feed. And so we, you know, that's where a lot of this comes from. And that's why the FDA, for all the other things we might say about them, they don't give grass status on stuff. That's a really tightly held identification unless we know a lot from a historic standpoint.
Yeah.
And so that's why zeolites enjoy that. And, you know, so for me, those are all sort of ideal factors. And then what we do, aside from our techniques of milling it, you know, sourcing, right, even out of the ground, the zeolite is Prop 65 compliant, right? It's already clean enough in that regard. And then we take it through a proprietary process where we flood the cage with calcium and some magnesium. And we do this because while it will take in a little calcium and magnesium into the cage, it doesn't really prefer it. It's kind of like a holder, right? Until it would get in the body and see something it prefers, like the cadmium, lead, mercury, and other things. And so what we work to do is to facilitate this exchange. And that exchange, for people that maybe don't know a lot about ion exchange, think of what you know about antioxidants. Antioxidants, right? You have antioxidants. They come in contact with a free radical. They give up an electron to neutralize the free radical. Really very similar here. It's a very similar trade-off that's taking place to neutralize something.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's the sort of basic science of it. So do you have any information about how it's been used? Any studies, you know, 10 people who've had pain in their arm or something like ulcerative colitis, or is there anything like that that, you know, people could hear about?
So remembering that it's a supplement and not a drug for those out there sort of looking at these various standards. And we're a supplement company, not a drug company. And so what we do is we look at the literature, you know, as for example, as we make our super green juice, right, which is 44 different fresh fruits and vegetables. That recipe is created based upon the research of how the body reacts to broccoli or cilantro or whatever it happens to be. And so what we've done is study the literature that's out there about zeolites and then look to better prepare a zeolite for bioavailability. And so there are papers and things we've referenced that show increased discharge in heavy metals from, say, coal miners, right? Or there's things with animals. But in that regard, you know, you don't have the literature you might have for a prescription drug protocol, and we're not engaged in that, right? That's not really what our lane is. Our specialty is to provide this in the best bioavailable form possible, because the general acceptance out there is there's no question zeolites bind with toxins and help to sequester them. So now how can we prepare that for human beings is really the approach we take.
Got it. So there's clear published evidence that you can get an increased excretion of various toxic metals through the use of zeolite, and one just has to work backwards and extrapolate and say that probably has a benefit to health, because it's not really very good to be walking around with a whole bunch of mercury in.
No, it's not. And we reference some of this material on our website, and then PubMed. I mean, I think somebody told me the other day there's 1,500 pieces in some form or fashion related to this on PubMed. The quality of each one would be different one from another. And then what we see additionally, right, in our role of really just sort of servicing this space and hearing from people, we got people that will share with us their hair analysis, which I think is, in my opinion, maybe a little more consistent and reliable to kind of look at what's happening to people's hair analysis over time. You know, what I've seen is that people will use it and see almost a prophylactic type of protection, right, where their levels, when expected to go higher, stay neutral or decline of the metals in their hair. And so there's things out there that are pretty compelling. And I think for people that wanted to dive into that, they'd feel pretty good about it.
Yeah. And I've actually seen some, I think it was you sent me some live blood analysis where you see red blood cells that are clumping and rouleau formation, I think they're called, where they're stuck together, which usually I think it's a non-specific sign that, you know, something's wrong there.
Right.
And then you take zeolite for a month or so and you see sort of nice round active red blood cells. So that's a really powerful demonstration.
Yeah, and we've actually got some of the, I think they're called blood microscopists, I think, right, that are independent of us but share with us their work. So that is, to me, very compelling, right? Yeah. To just kind of see how those processes are affected. And I just think people, for the most part, the human body, you know, to me, my opinion, it's so, you know, brilliant, right, and genius that it just works with whatever it's got available. But that doesn't mean over time, you know, there's this body burden developing and your performance or your body's performance is less than it could be. It's like to me, it's like an automobile that's not maintained. It may continue to run haphazardly, but by gosh, if you change the oil and tuned it up, you know, it can perform nearly like new. I think that's true for us. Now we can extend that to say, not just detoxification, but the food you're putting in and things like that. But I've learned to think of trying to manage toxic exposure and support your body's ability to get rid of it is nearly as important as the micronutrients you're getting, right? I think it's a critical thing to consider.
All right. So now we've got to having toxins, especially positively charged metals, not good for anybody. And there's nature was kind enough to provide us with a completely safe mineral that doesn't do anything but bind some of these positively charged metals, puts them in prison, and then go and it escapes out the urine and the bile and in the feces. And so that you guys have figured out, well, let's hear about that. What's different about your zeolite than probably the 10 other zeolites on there? And I don't mean for proprietary stuff, but just basic concept.
Well, one thing right off the bat is you've got competitors out there that are repurposing industrial synthetics, right?
Right.
So people can sort of decide what side of that line they want to stand on.
We already know we don't want that.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. There's scientific evidence that's a weaker bond, blah, blah, blah. But so one, you want to look for a naturally mined clinoptilolite. I think that's crucial here if you're just trying to get everything lined up perfectly. Sizing matters. And so you could go online, Amazon or someplace like that, maybe eBay, and you can buy zeolite by the pound. And it's next to nothing to do that. However, the structure is going to be so large, maybe 10, 15, 20 millimeters in size. It's going to be like sand-like, maybe with a little bit of powder mixed in. And so it's never going to leave your gut, right? It so may act as a bit of a wash, a bristled brush through the gut. But in terms of its impact, is it would be greatly diminished, right? I don't know that it would be any better than bentonite clay or even charcoal in that regard. And so the one thing needs to happen is the size needs to be thought about. So we have two products. We have Pure Body in the green, that's for the gut, Pure Body regular. It's 0.5 microns is the mean average size. And that's just large enough that it's going to stay in the gut principally. Maybe a few particles might get into the soft tissue and the bloodstream. But we want that one focused on the gut to just support gut health, pH, binding with stuff that's there, and just being involved in that general detoxification. The Pure Body Extra, which is the one where we size it, proprietary process, to a nanometer range. Now you're talking about being able to get into the cell. So, you know, sourcing matters, how you size it. And then the final thing is the prep. I just don't know of anybody else that's going to that extent to try to prep the cage. Now, that doesn't mean that as I sit here today, I know every competitor in every country, you know, doing what they're doing. But we think those are the three big deals for us, is the sourcing, the sizing, and the prep of the cage is really the critical factor why, you know, on our website, there's 14 plus thousand five-star reviews. That's because, you know, they're buying it. Everything comes unconditionally guaranteed. They're using it and they like it, right? So it's just a lot of people that in our nearly 10-year history with Touchstone Essentials, they found a good experience with it.
Got it. So if I could just say it and see if this is correct. You've got two products which work together. One of them, the zeolite cages, are a little bit bigger, and that you take orally. And that one's meant to essentially bind toxins in the gut and not get absorbed.
Correct.
The other one, which is used as a spray, is the one that's nano-sized and washed in some way with water, so that the cages are pure and the size is small, and that's meant to get in the tissues and bloodstream and bind with tissue and bloodstream toxins. And so they work together to help get you lessen your toxic burden. Is that pretty close?
Wonderful. Wonderful. We're going to just button that up and put that on our website.
Got it. Actually, that's one of my skills. I usually can hear something and then put it into a... So that's pretty clear. I don't even know what else needs to be said about that. So there you go. And do people use this for the rest of their life? Do they use it for a month? Do they use it 3 drops or 10 squirts or anything you want to say about that?
I think the answer to that is yes, they do all those things. And so when you get the product, right? So the Pure Body Extra, the spray, you know, it's 3 sprays, 3 times a day, right? Spread out, because remembering that it's based upon proximity,
right?
Sort of body floats, what I call it. There's probably a scientific term I'm not using.
And then it gets flushed out in 6 hours. So you might as well put some more in after that.
Yeah, that's right. And then the other are just drops, as you described. They can use it much the same way, 3 times a day, 3 drops, 3 times a day. But in terms of ongoing use, right, we have people that come to us and they've got some acute issues, whether it's something in their gut or they're feeling fatigued or having skin rashes or other things that they are attributing to some type of allergic reaction or toxic reaction. Even sometimes you get people talking about respiratory issues that may be associated with seasonal allergies or asthmas, whatever this happens to be, right? People have got some kind of acute issue. They will use it. Oftentimes, use it in conjunction with other things we've got. They'll see an improvement and they'll go, and then they stop, right? At their discretion. What I try to get folks to think about is your exposure to toxins is constant. I don't care how clear the air looks or you don't smell anything. The fact is there's 80 to 100,000 man-made synthetic toxins that are used in consumer products every day. And I don't even think you can live in a top of a mountain to get away from this, right? It's in the atmosphere. I'm in North Carolina, and all last week, we could smell smoke like there was a campfire when we walked outside the door from what was happening with all the wildfires out west.
Yeah.
And so toxins and their byproducts travel, right? It's not just burning wood in the forest. It's burning man-made material in houses or whatever happens to be.
Yeah, that ain't just wood that's burning either.
No, that's right. There's a heck of a lot more going on. And even if you use new fabrics, right, these new non-stained fabrics, right, they're treated with Teflon-like PFAS-based chemicals to cause this reaction. Anytime you take your food out of a package, most likely, unless somebody went to a really high level of expertise to do it, there's toxins involved in that packaging that does get into the foods that you're eating. So it's constant. You're probably in my peer group, so you probably would remember in the 1970s, John Travolta was in a made-for-TV movie called The Boy in the Bubble about, you know, he had no immune system, right? He wanted to go to the prom, and so he lived in a bubble, and they tried to make a spacesuit for him. Well, that's not an option for the rest of us, right? Yeah. We don't live in a bubble.
And that doesn't work either, so.
No, that's right. And so if you're in traffic, right, you're getting cadmium from the automobile in front of you. So I just feel like, and part of our messaging is, one, what can you do to minimize your exposure, right? Are you using any kind of home filtration system for your water or your air? If you're not, you should consider that if at all possible. I don't have anything to sell you, but you should do some research and consider that. Even buying organic foods, right? Even if they're not perfect, for the most part, the amount of petroleum-based synthetic herbicides, pesticides, fungicides used in conventional farming, you just lessen how much of that gets into the system if you're buying the other, right? And so anything we can do to sort of improve that exposure, I believe is a good idea for your long-term health and safety. There's no question these things we're describing, heavy metals, alterations, they can damage your DNA, which can not only make you age faster, it can make you more vulnerable to degenerative diseases. There's just a variety of things that if we manage our toxic load, we're going to be more healthy or have a chance to be. And so that's sort of that messaging for us, is that it doesn't go away. So this to us is a part of a daily habit.
Do you have any information whether there's any effect of zeolite on glyphosate?
We have anecdotal, which I realize, you know, I want to make sure it's couched that way, but there is evidence in the same vein that they've seen some people regularly using, like bentonite clays and others. It helps to flush it, particularly out of the bowel. And we know that for zeolites, for the most part, particularly in animal research, they've shown to improve liver function and managing synthetic toxicities, right? So we're just kind of making a little bit of a leap about what that might do. And I'll be candid that I should be mentioning that, just like I do exposure to cadmium, right? Because that's just another one that just, we're just not getting away from it.
Right.
Right. It's just too pervasive in our society.
Yep. So Eddie, I think we've pretty much got a good idea here. It didn't take that long. So this week where our site is going to be helping promote this. So I understand you have a kind of an offer for our listeners here. Could you describe that?
I can, and I appreciate the chance for us to partner this week. So in order to sort of celebrate that or respond to it, you're going to be able to offer folks, so this is a bottle that sells for $79.95. That's the global sales price converted into whatever currency somebody's using. We'll make that first bottle available. So when people click the link, they have two choices. They can buy at $79.95, remembering that it still comes with an unconditional 30-day guarantee, empty bottle. Somebody uses it, doesn't like it, return it, get your money back. Or they can try that bottle for $5. The only thing they agree to is our subscription service, which is the next best price of $63.83. If they receive the bottle and for whatever reason just don't like it, or if they take the offer and just tonight wake up and say, I don't want to do this, they just notify us, chat, email, phone call, whatever's convenient for them to turn off the subscription, and they do, there's no questions asked. And so that's the process. And we do this because we believe most people that try this product will respond well to it and want to continue to use it. So for us, it's an investment because we have seen historically people enjoy the experience and they want to continue to use it.
Is that $63 for both the oral? That's for one.
That's for one. The gut product retails for $38.95. and its subscription price is $28.95. And so what we essentially have found is most people have enough skepticism about life that they want to just try one. So we put the $5 offer together to give them something to try, kind of remove that barrier of worrying about it. And then if they have a good experience, oftentimes they'll upgrade and add the gut product and our greens product. That's sort of the thing we see people do. Yeah. But it's the way I see it is you've really got nothing to lose. We're the ones taking the chance from that standpoint, and we're pretty confident you're going to have a good experience.
Got it. All right. And you'll be able to find that link on our website. And I just want to finish by saying I would love to hear from people about what their experience is. That's the way that I've learned just about everything in medicine, from people, patients, friends, et cetera. And so I'm very excited. I've been trying it myself and I like it. And Eddie, it's been really great to have you on our podcast, and hopefully we can see how this goes and help people have a little bit healthier life here. That's what we're all about.
I'm confident it'll be great, and I appreciate the chance to be with you. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.